Hello there. This episode is sponsored by Hearing. Your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them. So keep on listening, and if you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends. Without further ado, here's the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Padawan Unlimited podcast, a Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast. I am your host, and you know what? I'm joined by all... Here's all the hosts, Corey, Rob, and Gil. How you doing?
We've been upgraded. We're full-on hosts now.
Yay. That sounds good to me. Appreciate that, Gil. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. We were just talking about how Rob and I played like six games of Jango Tarkin Town versus Han 1 and how I got spanked with that new deck list. You should probably put in the show notes. I'm probably going to ask you for the SwooDB link to put in
the
show notes.
Yeah, get those deck lists on there. Yeah, I mean, probably post what we've been playing, like those decks.
I mean, it's just, I can't even take, I definitely can't take credit for it. It's just the deck list that one of our local super competitive heads has been playing, and it's pretty good. I mean, the funny thing is when I was talking about it with Gil, it was really like a 5-card change to the deck that I was running, but those 5 cards like made all of the difference, frankly. And it was, you know, and it's what we kind of talked about when we were talking about deck building or the deck building episodes, where it's like, if you dilute your purpose, the purpose of your deck, it becomes less efficient. So, you know, Jango Tarkin Town is all about damage to base, right? So got to make sure that your everything that you're doing is damage to base. It's, you know, it's dealing with those things. Like, it's good to have solutions for things, but if your solutions don't also allow you to continue with the main theme of it, then it's actually hampering your deck, as it turns out.
Yeah, and this deck was a pretty successful winning deck. So at SCG Con 2 weeks ago, our very own Tyler from McClunky Gaming team took fourth on that Friday. And so this is a very good deck. I think he might take it to some PQs in the future. So
he definitely top eighted one of the days, and then was the top four the other.
Right. He topped like twice. You're right. I think he topped eighted the first day, and then the last day he topped forward, which was huge. And then they decided to put the prizing at the top. So
yeah, I think everybody just wanted to get out of there and head home.
It's like Sunday,
catch
right?
Their flights.
Yeah. No, yep. For sure. But kind of want to get away from the competitive talk, because we've been talking about that for a couple of weeks now, and a lot of the online chatter and even all discords is just like PQ this, Meta that, Han this, like, oh, surprise Jango, or Mace Windu blue, like tournament win. That was crazy. So maybe we'll talk about that at the end for like 5 minutes. But what I really want to talk about is I want to pick your guys' brains on how we can grow the physical Star Wars Unlimited community, because and we've kind of alluded to this in the past, you two actually run a very successful, in my opinion, very successful board game like group that's like been ongoing for years, and runs on Mondays, and I think at last count you got somewhere in between 25 to 50 people. Like, when you combine the two, I think there's like two groups. Anyway, it's like 50 people.
We had 50 last night.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Consistently, we get, you know, between anywhere from 20 to 30 consistently. And then last night, we were close to 50. Yeah.
Which is
pretty cool.
Yeah. Which is, I think, awesome. And I think for anyone out there who is in the Star Wars Unlimited community and wants to grow, or just to grow in their own community, there could be, you know, skills and stuff or things, lessons learned to contribute to everything else. I think we should definitely talk about that. But before actually, you know, before we even get into what you guys have done to successfully run this and get this community off the ground, what do you think about the Star Wars community in general? Like you think we're growing, stagnating? I don't know. What are your opinions? I guess we'll start with Corey, since Rob and I, we just talked a lot about our decks.
Yeah, no. As far as the community, I think that it seems to be pretty strong. Although it's the hype of it isn't as powerful, I feel like, as it was in set one. Set one it was the fervor of getting the cards and like trying to find packs and find boxes was all over the place. The prices were skyrocketing out of control. Now things are coming down, but that's not a bad thing, I don't think, because it's giving more opportunity to people who are interested in the game, an affordable entry point into the game, and there's more opportunity for people that are not necessarily super tryhards to get into the game. And so we're not seen as like many like packed sold out PQs as I thought we were going to potentially, but they're still firing off pretty consistently, and there's still a very competitive scene. But I think as far as the community goes, a lot of people are still really interested, and the people that are streaming the competitive games, like I know McClunky Gaming's doing streams, and then there's some other streamers out there, the content creators that are streaming. They're getting great, reviews on these videos and on these streams, and I think that it is growing. The community's still, very much involved and looking forward to what's coming. I know there's some people that have been there from day one that are a little like, oh, nothing's been as good as set one, but I think that this, as far as the community is going, it's in a good spot. I like where we're at.
I would agree. I mean, I think, there was a lot of hype around set one, but it's kind of the, and I know we all have talked about this, but the fact that the prices have come down on a lot of product is great. It does bring more people into the hobby. It's not going to have the Lorcana problem where set one prices are still just insane. Because you can't get that set, you can't get that product, but those cards are core. So I think that's great. I think the other thing that I will say is that, this community in general, I mean, you're always going to have exceptions to the rule, but this community in general is far less toxic than like a lot of Magic, frankly, communities that I've seen. And I think it speaks to the player base. The player base wants a more friendly environment. Yes, there's competitive players. There are plenty of competitive players out there, as again, as evidenced by the PQs. And I think what's interesting about the PQs, at least the ones that we're seeing on the East Coast, I think are really are selling out or closer to selling out, versus some of the ones that are a little bit further away. But there's a strong community, particularly in the tri-state area. I would venture to say that has been steadily keeping the game going. I know Hex and Cove for not this coming weekend, but next weekend sold out. I can almost guarantee you Red Seal is going to sell out. Red Cap sold out. Like so, from Philadelphia to Boston, basically, we're getting a lot of people who are playing and traveling in this area. So it's been good.
I would venture to say that the community has stabilized. We're at a point where, like, there was a huge leap because a huge jump at or a spike at the beginning because of it was such a good card game, and also like the cards were pretty cool looking and easy to pick up. But as time has gone on, we've seen kind of the casuals, the truly casual players, kind of drop off a little bit. Maybe they're picking up packs here and there, but they're probably not playing there very often. They might pick up a box every so often. But I think that if we're talking about like people who like are active within the community, it's stabilized. And I've seen because we've seen for the last however many months, like it's recurrent. Some stores get four, some get eight, some get 20, right? But like those people that go will always go, and they're always there. And a lot of times they're different sets of people. Like, which is, I mean, sometimes there's obviously overlap, especially if stores are close, especially here. Like we have a different microcosm in New Jersey because we're so compact. But I think I think even I would venture to say even in other stores that have at least tried to start it and were successful, like there's now a steady stream of people that will constantly do like chaos drafts, drafting, constructed, whatever that might be. And so I think and you're right also, like a lot of the larger events have been sold out again also because I think we just have the density in the East Coast, right? And we're relatively, people, a lot of people are friends, so they'll just stay at each other's houses. Like I see it on the Discords because I'm on a couple teams, like the KTOD guys are hanging out with the McClunky guys or P folks, and then there's also with bot and Boffin network people, like they're all kind of hanging out together, which is really kind of cool to see. Anyway, so definitely I think it's stabilized, but like now we're going to go to the next question. And this is where I'm going to ask where your expertise is. How do we grow it though? right? Because once you stabilize, there's an attrition rate, right? If people are going to start dropping off. It's just, that's just what happens with time. Like life happens, whatever. And you need to have new blood, new organic growth. But if that doesn't happen, right, then we're net negative. So for you guys, maybe I'll pitch this out to Corey. What approach do you think we should take? I mean, based on your experience, to grow, well, maybe wait for Swoo, but like when you were doing your board game, when you're doing the board game group, what's your approach to like kind of eliciting new blood?
Yeah, well, it starts with like the people, right? The people in the community is where you have to have people that are welcoming. If you're not welcoming, and if you're not going to be that person that's saying, oh, hey, you're interested in this game, let me show you how to play, like you want to, you know, here's some bulk that I don't need, and like giving your experience and your expertise in this to someone else freely, and like welcoming, like being that person to help someone who's maybe timid or afraid to try to jump into something because they don't know where to start, they don't know what this is going to be like, they may be embarrassed, they don't know card games. Like, be that person that you wanted when you started card games, when you started playing games, and be that for someone else. If you're doing that for other people, it just opens the doors to be like, this isn't a scary thing, like you can do this, this is something that is going to be you know, fun and exciting. You can meet new people and people that are interested in the same things that you are. So I think that's where it has to start. And then, of course, you have to have a good game there to keep people around, and the sets have to keep getting better and better. But yeah, it really starts with the people and then the opportunities where those people are, and giving people opportunities to play the game, and making sure that it's, you know, convenient times. You know, you can't just have every, like, hey, we're going to do all our events at all these stores at the same time, right? So we need to work together in a way to make sure that there's opportunities for these people to play. And location wise, it's, you know, people don't want to go an hour out of their way for the most part. They want to be as close as they can. So having places that are, you know, firing events that are closer is going to make it easier for people as well. But again, it really comes down to, that's for me when I got into board gaming. And in card gaming, it's a social thing. If you're going to places and events where the people aren't nice and not fun and not welcoming, you feel like, why am I here? Like, what am I doing if I'm not going to be in a, you know, an environment that is friendly and exciting to be a part of?
Yeah, totally agree. How about you, Rob?
Obviously Corey and I have got a fair bit of experience running communities for, you know, a while. I mean, I've been running the Tipsy Meeple board game group for 5 years, give or take. Corey's been helping me for three, and I'll tell you, rule number one of any type of community organizing, half the battle is just show up, be there consistently at the same time, be consistent with what you are doing, because turns out people like consistency. So for us, you know, the biggest thing was Monday night. We're here every Monday night. We're here every Monday night, starting at 6 o'clock, we go until midnight, and like, it's there, whether or not anybody else shows up, we're there. So if I'm the only person there, and it's been that way sometimes, particularly early on, that's fine. You know, I have me and four other friends, cool, we're here, but more people start to show up, you know, as you start to be consistent there. So that, I mean, that's number one. And to Corey's point, yeah, you got to be welcoming. You have to be, you know, I came from a miniature gaming background. I played War Machine competitively for a really long time. I just thought about it. It's like, yeah, that was like 10 years. The honest truth is, new blood is the most important thing in any community, any gaming community in particular, because as you said, Gil, there's always attrition. Life circumstances, somebody moves, somebody goes. So if you only have, you know, four guys and two of those guys move away, suddenly your group's cut in half. So always trying to bring new people into the hobby is the biggest next step. And again, that comes down to being welcoming. Sometimes that it means, like, as awful as it sounds, throwing games to new players so that they can get a feel, like they can get a taste for what it's like. Understanding and teaching people how to play. Like the running joke is with, with board games, it's like you're a bad teacher if you win the game that you teach, right? For new players, you're always supposed to lose the game that you're teaching so that they so that people kind of come back because they want to keep playing those types of games. In all seriousness, what it really is at its root is being welcoming and bringing people in and making sure that they their understanding of like what they're getting into in some ways, right? It's like if you're going to play Swoo, it's like, okay, it's going to be a competitive, for the most part, it's going to be a competitive environment, particularly in this area. Like all of our stores are very competitive. Even Mythicos, where we're like, and I'm running those events and those, we're getting like 4 to 6 people. But initially it was very casual, and now it's like the 4 to 6 people that show up, and granted, Corey and I and you are 2 to 3 of them, but we're getting players who want to play competitively, that want to play what I get, at least at the very least, against the meta, and try some things out that they think that might work against it or whatever it is. Being welcoming, walking people through lines, kind of teaching people how to play, and not only how to play, but how to play better, right? It doesn't mean that like you're a bad player just because you walk in and like you start getting stomped. It just means you don't have the experience. But if you don't foster that, if you don't try to bring people in and make them feel welcome and make them feel like, okay, you're having a hard time now, but try this or try some of this and see how that works. Again, walking through lines, talking people through this stuff just to make sure that they feel, and maybe it's not for them, and that's okay, but you should always be making the effort to like try and make people feel welcome and make them feel like, basically like you're not stupid, you're not bad at this, you're new at this. We've been playing for 9 months. We have the knowledge, that's been built up, the institutional knowledge has been built up with that. You don't have that yet. That's okay. We'll help you get there. And I think that's the most important thing. It's like it's literally quite literally saying that we will help you get to where you want to be, as long as we can do it. And you might surpass us, you might just stay where you're at, you might meet us where we're at. All that's okay. It's you take it at your own speed, and we're gonna just help you get to where you want to
Yeah,
be. And
I
if
would
we
agree.
can't do it, somebody else can, and we'll punch in that direction.
Yeah, so seems like there's some practical, easy practical steps to building your local community. I think first of all, you just got to be very welcoming. Try to be warm. I don't know if you necessarily need to be talkative, but as long as you're, pretty friendly, as long as you're friendly, open, and I guess you should start losing some games to them at first. Is you gotta go easy on some people, right? And
Well,
also,
you don't bring out the like heavy meta deck to someone who's bringing their starter deck.
well, yeah,
Like,
no, I agree. Well, when you're teaching a game, you should probably start off with the starter decks. Or like what I do when I am trying to teach someone about the game, I just give them a Sabine deck and be like, play this, and you'll pick up some stuff. Because there's very few keywords. It's not like there's a bunch of different things there, right? There's not a lot of bunch of
And you just
traits.
attack base.
It's just
Just always
attack
attack
base.
base.
You're probably gonna win. I'll play like a really booty deck. You're not gonna know it's booty. And then just play, right? That's how I do it because it's so formulaic. Quick question. So Corey, you are, I guess, also a new blood into the board game group that you had, 'cause Rob mentioned that you started really helping out like 3 years ago.
Oh, he'd been around for a while. It was just he started helping me
Oh
though.
yeah, no, yeah, for sure. What I guess is like when you took that leap into like actually helping to start kind of lead and manage the group, like what was that transition like? Because I feel like there's, for me, like I'm taking that leap now. I mean, digitally, of course, and my growing in the community has been like, let me start this podcast, and then now let me start YouTube, and let me do all this other stuff. But like when you were physically, when now you have a physical location, and the fact of the matter is you guys could get 30 to 50 people on a Monday at a Wegmans grocery store to play board games is Very impressive. I think any tournament organizer, any store would be like, what the heck? I wish I had your skills. So going back, when you transitioned into, I don't know, just like a player, into like a community leader, essentially, what was that like? Like, what did you know? How, was that hard? What did you know? Did you have to learn anything? I don't know. Like,
So, like for
tell me
me,
about that experience.
yeah, definitely. You know, it's a good question because, like, something I didn't really think about is like, oh, this is a transition from being a player to an organizer. I didn't think of it like that, where it's one role into another role. I'm always going to be a player. I'm always going to be someone who's playing games. So that never changed. But now that you phrase that as a question, like, oh, you're an organizer, it makes me think like, well, the way I approach my gaming has changed. The way I approach my maybe behavior towards people, instead of focusing on what I want to do, it's like, oh, I want to play this game. I'm only going to play this game no matter what. And if people don't want to play it, screw them. I'm just going to make sure I play with the people that want to play. Like now I'm thinking as a player and as an organizer, I want to make sure people are playing those games that they want to play. Like if you want to play a game that you have like, oh, I've heard this game is really good. I want to play it. I want to make sure you get to play that game. And so the transition really was basically being a player that's like, I'm going to bring games that I want to play to. I want to play the games that you want to play. I want to make sure that you're having fun and enjoying the games because I love playing games. Like, throw a game in front of me, I'm going to play it. I played Uno last night, just for an example, because some of
Your
them wanted to.
kids?
No, at Wegmans.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, God, you played Uno last night. No
Yes,
kidding. That's
because
funny.
someone wanted to play. Like they said, they brought a deck of Uno cards and they wrote all these different rules. Like, I want to try this. Like, I want to see how this works. I was like, sure, let's go. Let's throw it out there. And it was awful. Like, I was not enjoying it one so bit. But they wanted to do it, and they and so we like we went we took it for a ride. And heck, it didn't work out. But I was like, you know what? Like, sure, let's do it. We'll see how it goes. And that's what, like, as an organizer and someone who's trying to facilitate a community of people that are enjoying something, you want to give people the opportunity to do that, to do those things where, hey, I don't make them feel shamed for wanting to play a game that may not be, you know, the
Your style.
meta. Right. Like, oh, you're not playing Sabine, you're not playing Hanwan, you're gonna lose. Like, don't be like that guy. It's like, oh, you wanna play Maze Blue? Sure, go for it. Hey, you want a PQ?
Probably
What
would have been you. Yeah,
the
right.
That's exactly. So that's where it's more of being pushing that so that everyone can enjoy and maybe sacrificing a little bit of things here and there, but it's not, I don't feel like that, right? I feel like because I'm getting that enjoyment of helping or showing or being the person to play that game that other people want, it's making it that's fulfilling, right? So that's where the change is, I think, the
You know,
most.
I like that. I really like that mentality, you know. Not necessarily being not really self-sacrificing, but you have to, you know, be considerate and unselfish. I think it's probably the better word, right? In order to help grow your community, because if you just think about you, then it's like all for
Well,
one,
you're
or
isolating
you know,
everyone
one for all,
else, and
whatever.
eventually, yeah, you're just gonna be the like that. You're just gonna turn everyone away. Yeah. True.
And I've definitely been a part of communities that were like that, where the organizers were, it was sort of, it was a call it an ego project, if you will, like where it was all about them and sort of what they could get out of being an organizer. But when, you know, in terms of being an organizer, I always kind of equate it to a little bit to like being a chef. You always eat last. It doesn't mean that you're not eating well. It just means that you're always the last to kind of get to the table, and that's okay. You know, and Corey has seen this, you know, with our group. I mean, you know, since I've started running it, I don't I very rarely choose a game to play. I'm usually playing what other people are interested in playing, and you know, I will play games, or I will suggest games, because I think, because you know, I've been doing it for so long, and maybe we're playing games that like I well we're probably playing games that I've brought because I'm the organizer and not everybody brings them. But really, at the end of the day, I'm at the mercy of the whims of the people that come to the meetup. And it's not because you know, that has to happen, or there's something, there's something, it's what you do to to grow the community. It's what you do to make people feel welcome, or part of what you do to make people feel welcome.
And
And
sometimes also like suggesting a specific game or suggesting a specific deck is because you feel like that person's going to enjoy it. It's like, hey,
exactly.
you don't like aggro. Like, it's not working for you. Let's do a control deck. See how that feels. And like, let's play that and like, and go through that instead. And so like, it's just finding what people enjoy as well within the.
Exactly.
I think that's a great point. And nothing's going to beat, if you're trying to introduce a new player to the game, nothing's going to beat the physical cards in front of them. Like, I don't like, I would say that, like, if I was going to teach someone how to play Star Wars Unlimited, which I have, I would never make their first game be on Karabast or any of these other, like, platforms. It will always be, here's some cards. Hold this, shuffle it, and let's play. And this is how you play. Nothing's, I don't think it things every, and it's compact, it's 50 cards. Like, you can carry that wherever you want. You can keep it in your pocket. No one's even gonna know it's in there. It's gonna be like a fat wallet, right? that's probably what I would, that's
Is
probably
that
what I would
is that
do.
a Star Wars deck in your pocket, or you just haven't seen me go?
Nah, funny. but not sleeved, because that's just too much. I would probably play like a uncommon common deck with some common leaders and be like, hey, try this. Try to make decks that are, fit the a certain motif, like especially with a popular character like a Luke or like a Hera, like it's very popular, like make a deck like that, because those are also just kind of really fun to play.
No,
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's what I'm
I was
saying.
gonna.
Like, it's not necessarily like shoving people down the, like shoving this into your face, like, hey, you have to do this. Like, no, let people play what they want.
Yeah,
Don't.
well, and it's about listening. I mean, really, that's what we're kind of saying at the end of the day is kind of all this. It comes down to listening to what your community, what an individual player, what these people want. And it's not you're like I said, you may not be able to supply everything, but if like if the community in general is robust enough, it's like I may not have the answers or the solutions that you're looking for or the thing that you want to do, but hey, this guy over here that we also know is doing something similar to this. Here's here we can make an introduction. Here's how you can start those things, and it's all about that. And I think that to kind of bring it full circle, Gil, like when we talk about the community, the Swoop community as a whole, McClunky working with KTOD, working with like all these different podcasts, like it's not like they're hoarding their secret tech and they're unwilling to kind of talk to people. They want to have this be successful, at least from what it seems like to me. They want to have this hobby be as successful as we want it to be. And I think that is a that's a hallmark of a good community, gaming community, and not just individual local communities. I'm talking about the community as a whole.
Yeah. So share information, be a nice person, and
Yeah.
we'll see how it goes.
And be
Okay.
there.
Yeah,
Be
and
there.
show
Show
up
up.
every frequently, just like every Thursday, this podcast drops. So
Consistency, very important.
consistency.
Yeah. And thank you, Gil, for like the walking the walk and talking the talk. Is like a lot of people are like, oh, I want to grow this community. How do I do it? Like, you're out here doing it. So that's
I
awesome.
appreciate that. I appreciate that. So we're running on time. And so for the last couple minutes, I want to switch gears and we'll talk about, we'll do, like I promised, we'll do a quick PQ meta update. I don't know if any of you guys had looked at the stats within the last weekend or so. I think we saw some interesting trends. The PQ meta is still relatively wide, and there actually isn't necessarily a deck that's dominating at the level Boba was dominating season one. I think the most
No,
we're seeing right
definitely.
now is Han won at 25% of like total wins, but like still floating around the 20 something percent for just all top eights, which is okay actually if you think about it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Because you see a lot of other decks like rising to the top and random decks too, like we mentioned, like
Yeah.
the Mace Blue, Kylo, Mr.
Fennec's
Feist.
coming back, or not coming back, coming out.
I'm saying. What do you guys th what do you guys think about this weekend? Maybe we'll start with you, Corey, then we'll go over to
No,
Rob.
I thought it was very interesting because again, I was expecting a huge bump in Sabine's because Sabine's easy to play, it's cheap, and it's very competitive. But what it doesn't do is win, like right. So it did win. I mean, it's still winning, but it's
Yeah,
saying
it's a win.
it'll hit top eight, but it peters out, and that's what I've noticed recently, and even in set two, is where you'll get to those top eights, and you'll do real well in the Swiss rounds, but then you have to play certain decks once you get the top eight because they're going to be there. There are going to be certain decks that are going to be there, and they're going to be the best players piloting those decks. And Sabine can struggle into those matchups a lot of the times. And so if you're not a top-tier Sabine player, Sabine is very, like we talked about, it's very straight face. You know what you're getting in Sabine. And so your opponents know what to expect from Sabine. And so they know what to counter. So yeah, seeing a lot of the new or a lot of variety has been really cool to see. Like that to me, I think is very exciting. Like that's what makes this so interesting because you go to a PQ, you don't know what to expect now. Like before you knew you're getting Sabine, you're getting Boba. Like those are the two decks. Now you're like, what am I gonna face and what's gonna be in top eight? I have no idea. And not knowing is gonna make it so much more difficult to do well because if you can't play against it, if you don't know what you're playing against, you don't know what the lines are, it's gonna be a lot trickier.
100%.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's wild. I mean, I am happy to, in general, we talked about this initially with like the ban of Boba or the suspension of Boba or whatever, and how good it is for this game. Because I think variety and like, the less uniformity there is in like the top eight, the better. And what I mean by that is like, if it's just the same three decks everybody's playing, the game gets stale real quick. Real quick. And we were starting to see that in set one and set two. Okay, Han is consistent, Sabine is consistent, Jango's consistent, but none of them are taking the lion's share of it. And then everything else that's kind of been hitting, so there's a lot of viable stuff. Again, seeing Fennec Shand in the top eights. Seeing
Luke
yeah,
Green
seeing Luke's
in
coming
the
back.
Kissimmee PQ. Actually, shout out to McClunky Elemental, aka Mike. Good job, buddy.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry, go
I
ahead.
mean, like, yeah, Luke ECO or Luke, like that's wild. The Mace Blue, Anakin, like there's so many different viable leaders now. And it's and it and, you know, and it comes down to it this, and I think that's what's great about it. It's like you can play the thing or the leader or whoever you want that tickles your Star Wars nerd fantasy, like I like me, I'm like, yeah, I love this. I love Jango. I love Boba. I love doing this, this villainy stuff. But like, if you're like, man, I just want to jam hero and like, I want to play Luke because he's my favorite character from from all of the series. Or I want to play, I love the corner case, like kind of obscure lore of Fennec Shand. You can do that. Like, that's kind of wild to me.
Yeah,
And I think,
discounted.
but
There's been 18 different base and leader combinations that have made top eight
there you go.
these
Pretty big.
PQs this season. So that's
Yeah,
pretty
I mean
crazy.
that's a wide, that's a wide variety. I mean, yeah,
Oh,
there
wait,
are
no,
shell
sorry. That's not eight. That's eight, winners. There's
winners.
18 different base and leader winners.
Over 2 weeks. That's
Yes.
actually that's a huge spread, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah, it's a very big spread.
Yeah.
I mean,
Okay.
but like there's shells, there's things that are going to be consistent between deck to deck, and it's a little bit of flavor here and there, but that's what's cool. Like again, I think it's interesting to see,
Yeah.
and I think it's healthy.
So we got a couple, like literally like 3 minutes left. So 30 seconds. Bold predictions for week three. I'll go first because I'm springing this question on you. I think we're going to see Quinlan as a leader rise in wins and top eights this week. It's gonna it's a he's a very solid answer to like this Han meta and can potentially race against Sabine. I think we're going to see it. I mean, I'm taking the Sabine going down as a win for my
Yes.
bold prediction. I've take it for
Sabine's
what take
still
it for
got
what it
six
is.
wins in this season, so that's number two.
Yeah.
Han's got nine, Sabine's got six, so.
I'm just saying, but like what's the share is going
No, it's
down.
fair. I mean,
Anyway.
Han rose.
And
No,
then
I
I
would say, oh,
good.
go. You got one more?
No, that's it. That's my bold prediction. Quinlan, we're gonna see Rise of Quinlan.
Quinlan.
Red, green, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Quinlan's gonna go up.
I think actually Boss Green is going to
Ooh.
rise also.
That's a good one.
I think that as far I'm going on the villain side. If we're gonna go, you got the hero. I got that. I'm gonna say Bossk is gonna win at least one PQ this next upcoming weekend.
Okay. How about you, Rob?
Mace all the way, baby. That I think that
Wow.
one outsider Mace deck, people, because like I mean, like in all honesty, Like, look at it. It's basically the Anakin deck, except you have a leader who flips one turn later with a higher consistency on his power. His power is somewhat live. And again, the ping meta is for real. And I think as a solid mid-range deck, like he's gonna do some things that, Django struggles into at times. I think Sabine struggles into at times. Like you play a heavy Sentinel blue pack, hero blue package, and you got to chew through that if you're an aggro deck. And I think you're going to see that kind of come in. I think even into Quinlan, because I do, it's like the two steps ahead, right? Like Quinlan is the answer to Han, and then Mace is the answer to Quinlan. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see,
Yeah.
but.
Okay.
There we go.
All
That's
right.
it.
Well,
Bold predictions. It's gonna be Mace, baby. Two,
when we
three,
convene.
we'll say it'll be two PQ wins for Mace.
Two. Oh my gosh, I
Oh my
wasn't
God.
even going that high with
So,
Sauce.
thank you, gentlemen. We are not. So we're on Tuesdays. We are not at 100 subs yet. So I'm not gonna do the raffle today, but potentially we might do it
So
next
close.
week.
What was it? Four away?
Yeah, we're like 97. So we're like three away.
Not three away?
Yeah,
Wow.
three
All
away.
right.
So. But hopefully we'll get that underway. I mean, I got legendaries. I'm willing to give them. You know this. So,
Do it.
until next time, everybody, gentlemen, thank you for joining. Everyone else out there, may the force be with you.